7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons is on the line with us. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. I think, like a lot of folks in this area, we're anticipating what's going to happen with Elsa elsewhere in the state, but we are glad that it's not happening here. Obviously, that's always the case. I wanted to ask you, we just finished up with the 4th of July weekend. Anything happen? How did the weekend go? I assume you guys didn't have to deal with a lot of noise complaints too much. So, but I mean, you get the calls, but you know, there's only so many people you have to dispatch, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a busy weekend, but I can tell you that really we had a pretty good 4th of July weekend. As you mentioned, we have a lot of noise complaints. A lot of people are, upset with their neighbors for doing fireworks. And, again, there's only so many deputies that we have, and we do have our priorities. You know, we're going to the violent crimes and domestic violence calls before we go to the noise complaints on the 4th of July. That's not to say we don't go to those. Sometimes if you're out there at 2 o'clock in the morning shooting off fireworks, we're going to go there and we're going to have a conversation with you. But for the most part, the fireworks on 4th of July is not the highest priority for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially concerning, obviously, because it's hard to tell whether it's gunfire or just fireworks, but generally on the 4th of July, you have to make the assumption that it's, you know, it's probably fireworks unless you have some reason to think that it's other than that. So the weekend was relatively clean, no big incidents over the weekend?
Yeah, I checked with our supervisors over the last couple of days. I even looked this morning again for a recap. And, I don't know if the weather played a factor in it, but it has been a pretty uneventful weekend.
We'll take that. Looking back to last week, obviously the big story that we've all been paying attention to, even while I was on vacation, I was paying attention to this, is the shooting death of Ladarius Clarity. Where are we at in that investigation? I know you've found some of the people that you were looking for, but what can you tell us at this point?
Well, as I've been saying over the last couple of days, we had a press conference on Thursday, and we asked people to let us know what they know, and they have. We've had over 100 tips. We talked to the three people that we were interested in talking to. We're still sorting through them. Because Ladarius was so popular, people hear a lot, and a lot of stuff that we were getting, a lot of tips that we're getting were stuff that, was secondary information, hearsay. But again, we take all that serious and we appreciate the assistance that we're getting. But again, like I said, we're still sorting through the information. Our investigators are working tirelessly throughout the holiday weekend. We're just not ready to make an arrest yet. We have to have probable cause, and we're not going to rush things. So that's pretty much where we are. There are some people that have information that we believe, the people that were intimately involved in this, either the shooting itself or the events just preceding it. So we're still looking for those people to come forward to give us the information that they know. But again, we're working it tirelessly. We're just not quite ready to make an arrest yet.
I know, going back for several years, your predecessor, of course, Sheriff Morgan, always would make the comment that if you stay away from bad people and bad activities, your chances of having something bad happen to you are very low. And I know some people, when they hear something like this, 50 shots into a car and a person gets killed, their first jump to the conclusion is going to be that, maybe he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing. Do you at this point even have enough to know whether he was the target or whether it was somebody else in the car or, I mean, anything along those lines? Because I know people are going to have that kind of a question.
Well, our investigators, continue to gather the information. And while there's some things that I can say, and Earl, obviously there's some things that I cannot say, mm-hmm. I will tell you at this point that, I emphasize at this point, we don't believe that it's drug related, and I'm not even sure that it Ladarius or LD, as they call him, was the intended target. So it was not random. It does not appear to be drug related, and I'm not even convinced that LD was the intended target. That's kind of where we are, and again, that's a lot of the information that we're getting, the tips. And then obviously our investigators know a whole lot more than what I just described to you. But again, they're still working it. And I think that it was important to talk a little bit about that again, it's not random. You don't shoot over 50 rounds into a car and consider that to be a random act. There was an intentional act. LD was killed by that intentional act. And again, at this point, a lot of the things that have been said and I've said about Ladarius Clardy, about his character and what he stood for, seems to bear out. I mean, I cannot tell you that, that anything illegal was taking place with regards to LD, and that's where we're at in the investigation.
Okay. Well, that is, it's a tragedy all around. And it's, it's hard to have any kind of a takeaway from it other than, as you said, at this point, you don't have any reason to believe that, he was doing anything, even though you do believe that it was a targeted act, as that many bullet casings would seem to be. And, whether he was the target or not is a question that, you've indicated you're not even sure about that. So that's just, it makes it all the worse, really, to think about, I guess. I wanted to talk with you a little bit about an incident that took place just a little prior to that, and it was your deputies were making an arrest at Oakwood Terrace, and I guess there was a woman who was trying to obstruct them making the arrest, but more than that, she was trying to work up other people in the crowd to kind of thwart them or interfere with them. Do I have this about right?
That's correct. It happened about a week and a half ago or so. I don't have her name, but during the arrest, she was trying to get people that were gathered around to join in, to help her. And we're not going to tolerate that. This is not Seattle. Our deputies were making a lawful arrest. They were doing their jobs, and you cannot try to get someone to interfere with us doing our jobs in a lawful manner. So that's kind of where we are. If someone has a complaint about what we do, then there's an avenue for making that complaint. As you know, we've got funding for body cameras. We're at probably 65 body cameras now on our deputies. We should have about 300 of them, or estimated 300 of them, by the end of the summer. And again, if you have a concern, then you can make those complaints. But to try to stop us while we're making a lawful arrest, that is illegal, and we're not going to tolerate that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that she was arrested because, I'm absolutely a supporter of what you guys do, and I wish there were even better rules for protecting you in the doing of it, because I feel like what is supposed to be, citizen engagement has unfortunately become citizen interference, or even worse, and so I wish we had less of that, and certainly it's weird to hear about it here in Escambia County. Sheriff, one of the other stories that happened while I was on vacation that I just wanted to follow up on briefly was you had this, teenager was stealing a car, and the homeowner comes out, finds this out, has a gun, and the teenager winds up getting shot. But this was a justified shooting. You guys have not pressed any charges against the homeowner. Normally, you can't shoot somebody who's stealing a car, but there was a lot more to it than that, right?
Yeah, again, we talk a lot about reasonableness, and is it reasonable to believe that the individual or someone else was in danger? I think that it's important to note, and we talked a little bit about this over the last week, that the homeowner was doing what they were legally able to do. You're able to confront someone in your own home. You're able to have a firearm with you when you're doing so. And I think that the issue is that this individual, this criminal, got out of the car that he was stealing, and then he attacked the homeowner. The homeowner did have a gun, again, as I mentioned, and I think that it's reasonable to believe that the homeowner felt like his life was in jeopardy, and then he fired. Again, we talked about this over the last couple of days, and we've talked about it, you and I have talked about it over the years,
yeah,
that it is a reasonableness standard, and that's what we use, and that's what the state statutes call for.
And so, weirdly, if he had managed to steal the car and just drive away without threatening the homeowner, that would be a different situation, but it was getting out, fighting with, making the homeowner feel in danger of his personal safety, life, and limb. That's when you become justified in obviously fighting back and using deadly force if you feel the threat is at that level. So, I think the reason I like to talk with you about this is because we know we have a lot of gun owners, and I want to make sure that anybody who listens to this show understands what the law does and does not protect them in doing whenever, God forbid, they ever have to use their gun, because I want to make sure that they're clear about that. Anything I've said wrong or you want to clarify or add to on that note, sir?
No, I think it's what you hit on it pretty well, and we've discussed it again. I think it's important to note, although it didn't impact the incident as it took place, that the criminal that got shot and his two cohorts actually had brought two stolen firearms from other car burglaries, and they had those in the car with them at the time. Now, again, they did not show those guns that I'm aware of. But so what we evaluated was what the homeowner knew at the time and what actually took place at the time of the shooting. But again, you never know who you're going to confront, which is why if I don't come out of my house to confront someone in my yard, I'm going to have a firearm with me. And I think that's completely reasonable for a homeowner to do what he is lawfully allowed to do.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Sheriff. Always appreciate the time. Certainly appreciate the work that you keep in us safe. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, sir.
You bet. Y'all take care.